Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to Bravo and the Brits, the podcast with a distinctly English take on all things reality TV. I'm with Faith Richardson, whose introductions I need to start putting a bit more effort into.
I like it when they're off the cuff. It's fine. Go for it.
I know. I'm not sure I trust myself to ad lib to that extent. That's the problem.
You're not much of a vampire.
No. Oh, I need to do more improv.
I truly can't think of anything worse than improv.
It's so difficult. It's really, really hard. I remember going to see like French improv at one point that my friend was in, and it was just extremely stressful.
I can imagine. Like, I watched my friend do stand-up for the first time once, and whilst he was really good at it, just like my internal cringeometer, just purely from the sake of thinking, if I had to do this, I would die.
Cringe by proxy.
Yeah, it was like off the charts.
No, it's so real. It's so real. Yeah, I stand-up comedy is the kind of thing that I just, for some reason, I feel like I will do it at some point. Like, I just have this like feeling deep within me that I would probably attempt it at some stage, but it also terrifies me. I think being unfunny is next to being not smart in the like list of things that horrify me the most.
100%. And especially being not funny when you think you're being funny is truly the worst. Like, I'm all for like, if you know, maybe in your head say something that you expect to laugh and it doesn't get it, that's, you know, also very cringe, but fine. But when you're like literally in that circumstance where you've written something that's deliberately funny for people to laugh at and there's just like crickets. Oh, I die. I'm getting like a rash thinking about it.
Yeah. I don't think we should indulge in this hypothetical anymore, because it's going to stress both of us out. Speaking of stressful, the word on the street is that Belgium has seen a 30% rise in cases in the last week, and there's going to be another lockdown in September in France.
No way.
So that's great.
That's horrendous.
So all I'm going to say is it's cuffing season, you know.
Pick your partner wisely.
Pick your partner wisely. The heat is on.
You might be stuck with them in quarantine for quite some time.
Oh, God. Yeah, I think it's just going to be another season of celibacy for me, to be honest. That, and I'm just like chronically incapable of meeting anyone locally.
They do always seem to have quite a distance about them, don't they?
So just from my kind of past year of shenanigans, my world clock on my phone, I have London, fair enough, that's our time zone, Brussels, Islamabad, Chicago, Dubai, Milan, Los Angeles, New York.
Incredible. What a plethora of places, though.
Does feel quite chic.
It is. It's so worldly.
So anyway, we're escaping to Potomac. Maybe I should add Potomac Valley into my world clock.
100%.
As a mark of respect.
Yeah. I mean, I have New York on mine just because I like to occasionally look at it and imagine what it would be like to be living there.
Oh, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
I'll be like, oh, it's like 11 p.m. What would I be doing if I lived in New York?
Not sleeping, because no one ever does in that city. Yeah.
Oh God!
I need to go back to New York. It's been so long since I've been. I want to go back, do the museums, go to brunch, do things with a proper appreciation of them. Not when I was like 10 years old, getting dragged around by my parents, being like, another art museum. Yeah. Whereas now I'm like, oh my God, I just want to be in an art museum.
I know. Like, I've literally only ever been with boyfriends, or once when I went with like a school trip. So it's all been very like trying to find a 50-50 of like male centric things. And like, I'm lucky in that Greg likes to go to galleries and things like that. But there's also stuff where it's like, I'm going to do like really girly shit and go for a proper girly brunch and like have cocktails here and stuff like that. I just can't do that. And I'm itching for a proper like girl experience in New York.
Well, you know what I'm going to say. On the other side of lockdown, I'm in. And this is the other thing, like, even when you're with a guy that's like, I don't mind, I'll come shopping with you, they're just so irritating, like their presence. And it's like, no, you don't understand, like, you're going to cramp my style. Like, it doesn't matter how patient you're going to be, like, you're going to throw me off.
Yes, all the time. Like, Greg is always just like, yeah, we'll go look around the shops and stuff. And I'm like, no, I need room to breathe. I need proper female opinions about this. Like, you'll just tell me that everything looks nice, which is
yeah, or like looks okay.
And they're just like, yeah, it's nice. I'm like, that's so non-committal.
I know. Just like have a strong opinion. And then even if they're there to like carry your bags or whatever, yeah, they just look so like downtrodden. And you're just like, oh, for fuck's sake, like stop being such a martyr. Like,
he looks so dejected sitting on like the man chair outside of a changing room. It's just insufferable.
You just have to leave them at home.
Yeah, it's so much easier.
So this episode is called Reading is Fundamental. So would you like to give us a kind of concise definition of what a read is in this context?
So to the best of my understanding of it is basically where you kind of give back what you've been getting, or you, it's so hard to say without saying the word read, but basically you like throw a little bit of shade at people and you kind of have a clap back for when they're being particularly rude or particularly obnoxious, or you think they just need to be checked and like put in their place a little bit.
Yeah, you see, I felt like you would explain that very eloquently. I know you're a big Drag Race watcher, yeah, as am I. I'm watching Canada's Drag Race at the moment.
Me too. I love it.
Really enjoying. So yeah, it's day two at Bethany Beach and we plunge right back into the center of the sister circle.
I kind of enjoy it when episodes pick right back up. Like, I don't feel like I've missed anything.
Yeah, sister circle does sound quite cult
like. It does. I mean, it's very culty vibes. And I also, like I said before, like whilst the notion of it's lovely, I do feel like it's a proper buzzkill for like a girls' weekend.
It's a buzzkill, but it's good because it dredges up a lot of like nonsense to work through. Like, if you were going to found a cult, what would the central premise be?
Oh, I don't know. Why do I feel like you've got an answer for this, Mark?
Why is this something that I think about at length every day?
Oh God. Come on, give me your best cult manifesto.
Well, I don't really know. I mean, I definitely, I'm very into like a Gregorian chant. Like, I love music like that.
My mom used to listen to, usually when she was having a particularly manic episode and she needed to calm down, she would literally just like, I'd come in the dining room and she'd have Gregorian chants on to, like, so loudly that the crockery would rattle.
So just let me get this up for you, because this is literally like such a fucking bomb tune.
Dorime. Oh my God. Incredible.
So I think whatever happened would be chant heavy. I think we'd be in sort of maxi dread, like smock like. Yeah. Not shaven heads. I think more of like a bum length hair and, you know, maybe kind of Celtic braids.
Yeah, I think like aesthetic purposes, it would go very like Midsommar. Have you seen the film Midsommar?
Yeah. That very sort of thing. Slightly kind of folksy, Romanian, earthy.
That feels very my vibe.
I'd either do that or I'd go like super high tech, kind of like, you know, that Apple advert? The one that was based on 1984.
Oh, yes.
And I'd go full, like, Courage, Pierre Cardin, like, vinyl, PVC suit, and be more of, like, a Dr. Evil kind of character as a leader. Well, maybe get carried in, like, a giant egg a la Lady Gaga.
Yes.
Emerge.
We love a grand entrance.
I like that. So Charisse, we plunge straight back into the sister circle. You're right, we don't miss a thing, we don't skip a beat, and we just go straight to Charisse crying about her divorce and those novelty American flag sunglasses, which needless to say was tough.
It really took you out of the moment, didn't it?
It's a bit like seeing someone on the back end of a hen do, just sitting on a street corner with their like sparkly dress, slightly caked in pavement dirt, where you're just like, oh, honey, like I want to help, but I don't want to touch you.
Yeah, and they've always got like the obligatory like penis air boppers on their head, and they've had a good cry about something, and it's like, oh, it really went downhill, didn't it? Like
has a bachelorette ever ended in like good vibes? Is what I want to know.
I feel like by definition they have to end in total like disregard and chaos.
Oh, the last bachelorette party I went to ended in me contemplating calling the Coast Guard because someone said, oh yes, Katie disappeared and said she was going for a swim in the beach. And I was like, okay, good. She has had so much Prosecco and is like a size 000. So that's reassuring.
That sounds absolutely terrifying.
It was very stressful. I was super sober for the entire thing as well.
Oh, no, that's the worst. It's a heavy environment to be in.
Robin acknowledges that she can put a wall up at times and says that her trust has been shaken because of this experience. And Ashley's testimonial, she's like, oops, now I guess I feel bad for saying they were down in the dirt scrabbling about for pennies.
I mean, Ashley has somehow that perfect, like, has that perfect sort of balance of being able to be completely flippant and also really meaningful at the same time.
Yeah, like this was obviously heartfelt, but it was just quite funny.
I mean, I do feel for Robin because like she was saying it was like a Ponzi scheme. I had to Google what they were to make sure I fully understood them. But I mean, it does sound like a truly like bullshit situation to be in. Although when she'd said that they'd stolen all of their money, I genuinely thought that they were somehow like ciphering money from their bank account.
No, she just got duped because she's...
got them.
I'm sure it can happen to anyone.
Absolutely. Although I'm by definition mistrustful of pretty much anybody and everybody, so...
Yeah, I mean, look, if someone comes to me and is like, I've got this amazing opportunity, I'm like, okay, good for you. Yeah. Why are you telling me about it?
Yeah, I want no
part. Do not expect me to participate.
100%. I would literally never, like, it sounds terrible, but truly, like, even my best friends, I would never invest in some kind of scheme like that, ever.
My mum always, she gave me, like, the best rule. She was like, if you want to lend someone money, only do it if you're happy to never, ever get that money back.
That's exactly what my dad said to me as well.
Love
it's
that.
Weird. But, yeah, my dad also has this thing where he's like, because we were saying that we feel really bad that, like, we've had to pay half our rent and we kind of, like, owe our landlord, like, 50% of our rent for the last 4 months. We were like, oh. Like, I just don't know how I'm going to pay it off. But my dad was like, why are you worrying? Like, she's the one that's owed money. And I was like, that's a good way of looking at it. Yes, thank you, Alan. It's just like, if you've ever borrowed money off somebody or you owe money off somebody, he was like, why are you worrying? They should be the one that's worrying. That's such a blunt way of looking at things.
That's ruthless, but I respect it.
Absolutely.
Giselle takes the sister circle's supportive environment to prodded Katie again about her philanthropic endeavours, and so they decide to confront her again about her behaviour at Ashley's party.
Oh, I mean, I just think they're just flogging dead horse at this point. It feels very much like that kind of trying to drum up a drama or a storyline really out of nothing. I mean, I know Katie gets those kind of like vacant drunk eyes, and her behaviour was erratic to say the least.
No, I think we just get a flashback to Katie being a good time.
Yeah.
To be completely honest.
I mean, and I think that's the thing. It's like any normal person would look at that and be like, oh, she's gone a bit too far today, you know, is what it is. Have a bit of a laugh.
Yeah, you'd just be like, oh, her head's going to hurt tomorrow. Like, yeah.
But like to immediately just be like, drugs, must be drugs. Nobody could have that much of a good time without drugs.
It's like... It's very like... I don't know what the like school thing is, but you know, at school where they just like instill like the fear of God in you about everything, just like drug related.
It's like you'll take drugs, you'll die. If you do this, you're gonna die.
We had this woman come in to talk to us about our inner demons. It's possibly the most hippie that my school has ever gone. And I remember she told us that caffeine was a drug, and I went home and I was like, Dad, caffeine is a drug. And he got so angry that he wrote a letter to the school basically being like, you're indoctrinating them against caffeine.
Oh my God, I love that.
Because she was basically like, caffeine is on a par with heroin. It was like some woman in harem pants. Like, oh, why am I going to listen to you?
No, that's so terrible.
So funny. I also remember we had like a subsidized bongo workshops.
What school did you go to, Lou? The more you tell me about it, the weirder it gets.
No, honestly, like when I look back at it, there were so many like hilariously strange moments. Like we didn't have like a grass football field for sports, but we had like a Roman amphitheater.
Oh my God.
Isn't that insane?
When we finish this, I want you to send me the name of that school so I can Google it because I need to see this shit for myself.
Okay, no, I'll...
Registre de bâtiment.
I don't know, like, what the architect was thinking, to be honest.
Oh, my God.
But it was pretty wild. Very orange, very ginger as a school.
A lot of our school was very sort of peach and magnolia.
Oh, right.
The colour of choice. I mean, I know we can't read any of this, but oh, my God, Lou.
Do you see what I mean? Do you see the one that's looked shaped like half a donut?
Yeah.
That was called the C building because it's a C.
Oh my God, this is huge.
Oh no, I know. Well, it was like 5,000 pupils.
Oh my God, I'm literally.
And then we had like the guards out the front.
Oh, you had guards?
Yeah, no, so we had guards and then at one point they became like armed guards. And then I remember because I was talking to one of them and I was like, hey, like, how come you're like armed now? And he was like, well, don't say anything, but it's because people keep ringing up and like threatening to bomb the place. So like we kind of need to do something about it.
My God.
Which is pretty wild. I could find you like the guard station because it was like 24-hour security, but I can't find a picture of it.
That is just so insane.
So in what? Oh my God. Okay, wait, I've just found a news article. We had the first ever school closure in Belgium because a parent of a student tested positive for coronavirus. How exciting. Comment, someone said, why did this school close and not others? Is it because of the people whose children go to this school?
Anyway.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, so Katie is like beyond pissed off at this point. She kind of checks out. She gets very like dead-eyed.
Yeah, I know this is a lot. She gets like super vacant looking and like blank behind the eyes.
You can tell that she just kind of hits her can't be asked like threshold. And like I say, I respect that.
Absolutely.
And then Karen's sort of etiquette crazed alter ego comes out all of a sudden. She decides that this was not the time to question Katie about whether she was on something. Karen's not happy about this.
I mean,
not happy at Giselle.
I know, which I think is shocking, and especially because they'd had this conversation together. She kind of threw Giselle under the bus a little bit. I mean, I know during that conversation, Karen was like, oh, well, I don't think it's appropriate to say the D word, you know. But she was very much a part of this discussion.
I know. Karen literally has loyalty to no one except for Ray.
Imagine if she loved everybody as much as she loves Ray. What a world it would be.
I did like... So Katie sort of heads off and goes to bed early. She's obviously just not feeling it at this stage. And then I did like the little flash of Robin doing an impression of how white girls dance because I felt seen.
The accuracy was truly unparalleled.
Did really make me laugh. The next day. We go to the next day. It's overcast, it's pouring rain. Karen is sitting in bed wearing a bedazzled queen trucker cap.
In denim. Let's not forget it was denim.
Was it denim? Oh my God, I hadn't even noticed that, to be honest.
Bedazzled denim queen.
Sometimes I'm really thankful that I do not have an HD TV.
Yeah, this is something you do not need to see in high def.
Yeah, I get spared some of the more traumatic details.
Oh God.
So Ashley is kind of learning exactly how to butter Karen up, I feel, and she's like, oh yes, channeling Janet Jackson. And you can tell that Karen's like absolutely loving it and like just purring.
I know she is. You can see that it's truly the greatest compliment she's possibly ever been paid, and I guarantee that that'll be the first and last time that anybody in Karen's life has told her she resembles Janet Jackson.
Oh, bless her soul. What makes me laugh though is I think that Karen's displeasure initially was incited by Giselle's poop story, and then I think she kind of checked out of the whole sister circle thing. Yeah. But then she's like lolling about it in the testimonial, and she's like, who shares a crap as a sister bonding moment? But you can tell that she's kind of like trying to cover up a smirk.
I know, you can tell she kind of has this thing where she feels like she needs to put out this really like uppity well-to-do thing, but when she does her testimonials, like, she's so funny and she's so much fun about things. It's like, I wish we had more of that.
I actually quite like the dichotomy between the two, because I feel like the fact that she's so uptight sometimes in the actual situations kind of adds to the kind of drama, but yeah. Then I like that she can kind of reflect on things with like a bit of tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, I mean, I love Karen. I'm just gonna say it, like, I was not convinced by her at the start, but truly, I love this kind of cheeky side that she shows.
And I mean, I've said it once and I'll say it again, and I do have to stand by Giselle on this one. True intimacy is actually sharing a crap story.
I mean, it is. There's very few people who will open up about that kind of thing. Although it probably wasn't the subject matter, shall we say, that everyone was thinking of in the sister circle. It was a very vulnerable moment.
But I do also feel like Giselle was doing it to deflect, because I think Giselle knows the moment she knows weakness, that's a vulnerability, an Achilles heel.
I don't think she actually really trusts any of these women to be vulnerable in front of them.
No, I don't think so either. Maybe Robin, but I think she would only do that one-on-one. Yes. And I think she knows that Robin would never come for her, because Robin wouldn't dare.
That is never going to happen.
So Katie says she felt set upon the night before, and I just like that the ladies are like sitting around in their athletic gear in the house with this absolute deluge going on in the background. I mean, really, you know, a flood of biblical proportions, possibly brought on by Giselle's ungodly poop story. You know, sitting around in their gym gear like they're actually going to go and cycle.
Like this is really going to happen. Not one of those women has ever had to go outside in the rain in their entire lives.
And then, of course, Giselle pulls this whole, I was merely concerned for her card with regards to the Katie thing. It's like, okay, that's why you just wanted to, like, bring this up in the most public setting, because you concerned for her.
Yeah, and you could tell, like, even when Giselle was asking her about it, she was barely concealing, like, her glee about the whole thing.
And then Katie just goes completely dead-eyed and flatlines. I don't ask you why you have multiple sex partners and walk around in lingerie having sex in lobbies.
I think it's truly like the monotony and the flatness of the way Katie delivers things that makes me love her so much.
Well, this is the thing. This just floored me, and it was also such a specific accusation. Yeah.
Which makes me think that there probably is some truth in it, because it feels like a very elaborate way of saying it. I mean, she could have just been like, oh, I don't ask you why you sleep with so many people. But like this, there was a lot of specifics in this story.
Yeah, I feel like there's something to this story, which we don't really get much of a look into.
Which I'm disappointed about. Like, I really wanted to know more about what was going on here.
But what I didn't understand was, so Brené comes in and tells Katie that she needs to stand up for herself a bit more. And I actually felt that Katie did a pretty solid read of Giselle and then walked away. Yeah, so I actually thought that she effectively shut down the situation and then extricated herself, having had the last word. Like, how is that not standing up for yourself?
Exactly. I mean, in that kind of circumstance, that's really exactly what you want.
Like, you so, don't. Yeah, I didn't really get the logic of that.
Although I think it's nice that, like, Renee and Cherise seem to have kind of taken a bit of a shine to Katie and kind of want to look after her.
Yeah, and look out for her as well.
Because I feel like now that Ashley has, like, Karen and maybe a little bit of Giselle, like, on her, well, at this point, on her side, I think it's nice that Katie has another two of, like, the older women to sort of back her up.
Yeah, a few people in her corner, as it were. These women seem to know what Giselle is like and are kind of consulting Katie on how to avoid making herself her bait.
I know, and it's like you say, it's because she actually does like assert herself and can sort of read her. So I find it kind of weird that they think she needs to do that more. And like, I do agree with Katie that sometimes it's just better to just walk away from it. Because if it's people like that where they like thrive on the argument and the back and forth. Like sometimes it's actually just better to just walk away and just be like, I'm done with this.
Yeah, so we kind of get another look into this when they go on this little outing. So it was just another really demented set of outfits going on. I thought it was really, frankly, rude of Giselle to call the driver Old Man River when he was basically better dressed than all of them. So they go to an old-timey kind of photo booth place, and they get dressed up and they all seem to have a lot of fun, which was quite cute and quite wholesome.
I have a confession to make about these old-timey photo places. So,
you love them.
Love them. I have about 6 photos around our house.
That is a lot.
I will send you the ones we're done here, but truly, there's, do you know Beamish?
I have heard of Beamish. I have still never visited.
Oh, so Beamish is a
believe.
It's a great time, right? And they have like a full photo thing there where you can go and get dressed up as like Victorians or, you know, whatever, and you can get your full photo taken. So there is 2 sets of photos from there, one of me, Greg, and my best friend Laura, and then one of just me and Greg when we went on Halloween. And then when we were in Florida, we went to a place called Old Town in Orlando, which is kind of very New Orleansy, and they had one there. So there's one of me like sweaty with my hair in like Dutch braids.
Oh my god, amazing.
Well, they dressed in this like humongous like madam's outfit.
I'll be honest, that's what I want from a relationship. I want someone that's going to get dressed up with me. I'm concerned that, like, I need a bit of campiness in my life.
I know. And you know what's wild? They were all Greg's idea.
No, I love that even more. I have so much respect for a man that's, like, going to fucking dress up and commit.
You know, to be fair, he does always commit. Like, the first year that we went out for Halloween together, like, I went as, like, a ventriloquist dummy. And he went as a magician, and he committed so heavily that he shaved his full beard off and just left like a creepy magician's mustache. But he kept it for like days afterwards. And I was like, you're not coming near me with that thing. It's repulsive.
No, I really like that. I really like that in a man, because that takes security.
Yes, 1000%. I love it.
So Giselle does another little like, Katie likes women. And so she tried to come and talk to me in my underwear. Jibe, which is where her like ex-preacher husband energy shows through, I feel.
Very much so. It's this very sort of like closeted, slightly homophobic kind of vibe that she gives off, and she can't seem to wrap her head around it just being like a normal thing, and the fact that she needs to allude to it like every chance she gets.
I mean, this, as discussed, this does feel like it was filmed in like 2008, but this was 2016.
That's so terrifying.
Now, I think Katie really gave it to her in this one. She was calm, she was collected and rational, and it utterly disarmed Giselle.
Yeah, she had no idea what to do with this. Like, she was probably either expecting all guns blazing or expecting this kind of like wishy-washy, like, oh, well, I just wish you wouldn't think. But Katie handled it so fucking perfectly that I was genuinely so proud, and I actually felt like Giselle respected her more afterwards.
Massively, because I think Giselle wants someone to lose their mind at her and be ridiculous so that she can respond in the same way.
Yeah.
And so when she actually gets it kind of calmly put to her, then she just sort of implodes and has nothing else to do but say sorry, and she has to concede.
Yeah, like she can't go anywhere with this kind of a thing, because she can't, like you say, she can't blow up, she can't scream, she can't shout, she can't have a back and forth. Like, all she can do is be like, well, oh, well, I'm sorry. Like, and it's perfect. It's so perfect.
Yeah, I really thought Katie dealt with this in the most effective way.
Same. It was so good.
So the girls are getting ready to go to a drag show later that day. These women, they just truly don't know how to dress, do they?
No, I mean, there was a lot happening here.
Oh, they look like the clearance rail of a Jane Norman shop. Like, Claire's accessories is just like projectile vomited gold earrings and 2010 statement necklaces all over them.
Oh god, and like the big sort of platformy stiletto shoes that definitely haven't seen the light of day since the early 2000s. It was all just a hot mess.
these women do not own like a chunky heel between them. Yeah. You can tell it's all stiletto action or a wedge. Oh my God, they love a wedge.
They love a wedge. I loved it at one point. I think it was maybe Charisse or somebody that were just like, oh, are they comfy to walk in? And she was like, no.
No, that's the point.
If it doesn't hurt, it's not worth wearing.
So Karen suggests that Katie stop sleeping with Andrew until he proposes. what does she say? Switch off the milk supply.
Yeah, it's just it's a way of looking at it.
It feels a bit like bodily blackmail to me.
Yeah, it was very weird. And like, I don't really understand that notion where it's like, oh, they're never going to buy the cow if they can get the milk for free. Like, I loathe that as a phrase anyway.
Don't you want to make sure the cow is going to give you good milk?
Yeah. You want to make sure it's working all fine.
That's the thing. You got to test drive the car.
Yeah.
Obviously. I mean, I know you can train people, but like, you still got to have a basic level of like deep physical connection with someone.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's probably... I've probably got on one hand the amount of people that I've really had like an insane like physical chemistry with my entire life.
And I think that's the thing. It's like you can't tell that in any way apart from sex, really. Like, you know, you can think that you're really attracted to somebody, but then when you have sex with them, you can kind of just be like, oh, no, that didn't really work for me at all. And like, you can be totally surprised by it. Like, I've had it before where I've really, really liked somebody and I've been like, oh, yeah, like they're really great, blah, blah, blah. Then we've had sex and I've been like, oh no.
Yeah, and I just think, like I say, you can always like teach it, like no one's gonna know exactly what you like first time round, but you have to have that like innate connection with someone. I mean, I was talking to you about pheromones, right?
Yeah.
Like some people, I'm sorry, they just don't smell right. Their sweat just doesn't smell right.
I'm still obsessed with this theory.
No, there's nothing I can do about it. And it's a really sad thing because I've probably like missed out on date. But I'm like, no, I don't like the smell of your sweat. Like, it's not going to go any further.
Yeah, like this is all you can offer me.
I'm sorry, but it's true. Some people just don't smell right. I'm sure I don't smell right to some people. I'm not saying it's like... I'm not saying I'm exempt.
Yeah. I think there is something in that theory though, because there are some people where it's like, you know, on paper they check all the boxes and everything, but you just don't have that thing with them as well.
Yeah, like there's, especially when it comes to sex, I feel like sometimes it's just like an attitude thing. So some people are like super open-minded and like very confident in themselves. And then there are some people that are like, they want to have sex, but they only want to have sex in their like very specific, particular way of having sex. Yeah. And if that doesn't exactly align with you.
Yeah, exactly. They can't force it. Like some people just have a general preference. And if they don't somewhat overlap, at least, it's kind of just like a moot point.
Mm. I just need to have someone that's literally like up for whatever, really.
Hey,
I'm not saying that we then have to do everything, but I just like someone that has that attitude.
Yeah, that's a bit of adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you want to feel like if you suggest something that they're not going to like laugh in your face, because that's also happened to me and it's very embarrassing.
Oh no, I would hate that. That's never happened to me, but purely because I've also just always been too shy about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. But then you get to a place where you'll just start to suppress things.
Yeah, and it just gets worse.
And it just gets worse. And then you get more and more twisted, but yeah. Like just internally. So they then talk prenups and Ashley refers to Michael as her pot of gold.
I mean, hey, Ashley's fucking prenup sounded fantastic, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, she knows it. She's not stupid.
Yeah.
She's not like, oh my God, I just love him so much. Like, I'm sure she base level likes Michael.
Yeah.
She might even love him, but... you know, she knows that ultimately he's also her ticket to a better life, baby. So why not?
And I also feel like, I think a lot of people give like prenups like a really bad rap and think that they're like unromantic or whatever. But like, I'm such a realist where it's like, if I was, especially with like seeing somebody who had like such an inordinate amount of wealth, or if I did, it would be something that I would want just because it makes sense. Like, you've just got that security then. Like, you might be like, obviously everybody goes into a wedding thinking that they're going to be married forever, but it's just not the facts. And even though you could do everything, they might cheat on you or leave you or die or any of the above.
2 out of 3 weddings ends in divorce, okay? If the odds were that bad for literally anything else, you wouldn't do it without a measure of protection.
Exactly.
Like, you wouldn't even entertain it.
Exactly. I think it's naive to go in just assuming that it's like, this is it forever. It's like, I've got a very realistic view where it's like, yeah, me and Greg are getting married, but if we get divorced, like, I'll also just be fine. Do you know what I mean? Like, my life won't implode.
No. Like, I mean, also, like, cross that bridge, you know? Cross that bridge when you come to it, Faith.
Yeah, I've not, like, got a backpack waiting for it to happen, but, like...
Little handkerchief tied to a stick. Faith, you're not even married. Yes, it's next year.
Put it down.
Put it down. That baguette's only going to last you 3 days before it goes stale. Robin asks Katie what she would do differently in her second marriage, and Katie says premarital counselling, which sounds quite interesting as an idea.
Yeah, I thought this as well. Like, it was kind of nice to see Katie open up a little bit, but I do sort of agree with her. Like, I think it's probably quite a healthy thing to do because it makes sure that you're on the same page and that you've kind of got similar values and that you can communicate properly. So I wholeheartedly agree with that.
I don't think there's any form of therapy, any form of counselling that is a bad idea.
No.
Like, honestly, the amount of people that I've dealt with this past year in a romantic setting where just the most basic level of therapy would have helped them overcome some of their most kind of prominent issues. I'm not saying that in any kind of shady way. I'm just literally saying I don't think there's anyone on this planet that wouldn't benefit from a bit of counselling, from a bit of therapy. So.
I think every person in the world should have a good therapist. I think it's so, it would make such a difference to just the world at large.
I'm going to get a cat, like an old cat that just wants to sleep, and then I'm going to tell it all of my feelings. And then that will be my therapist, and it will go to the grave with my secrets.
Cats are truly the best. I always said this, you know, as well, like before I met Greg or anything, I was like, you know how people always go like, oh, he's like, end up a lonely old cat lady. I genuinely couldn't think of anything better than living alone and just adopting old cats from the shelter and giving them a nice life before they died.
So my mum, I was speaking to her yesterday, and she said that there is not a single like decent cattery in their region in France. She's like, there are catteries, but she's like, none of them are like good enough for any of the British expats.
Yeah,
because the British expats are like so precious about their little furry babies. So she was talking to a friend who's raising these kittens, and the friend was like, look, if Louisa ever needs a job, like, just tell her to come here and set up like a cat sanctuary. And I was like, yeah, done.
Incredible.
That's 100% my retirement, like.
That sounds absolutely phenomenal. I mean, literally, if me and Greg get divorced or I just end up a widower or something, count me the fuck in.
Yeah, I know. Commune. We'll make like a vegan commune.
We could just like, me and you can just be like little spinsters with our cats and it'll be glorious.
I think it would be extremely fulfilling. We can like paint.
Yes.
You can draw.
You can just sample all the cheeses.
Yeah, I don't eat cheese, but.
You don't, do you?
So I cured meats though.
Oh, well, there we go. That's just as good for me.
I'll take on the cured meats. You can go down the fromage path. I also found on my white noise app that I used to get to sleep, there's a cat purring function.
Oh, what a dream.
Did I mention this?
No.
Oh, I couldn't remember if I did, but anyway, so I turned that on and I was like, great. And then I this is so sad. Oh my god. I got my pillow. And I like pushed it down the side of me to like form a little lump in the duvet. And then I put my arm over it to pretend that it was like the lump of a cat. And then I fell asleep with my phone purring on the side, like holding this pillow, pretending it was the cat's like loaf bum.
Oh my god, that's the best thing I've ever heard.
You know, we've all just got to come up with our coping mechanisms right now. And this is one of mine. And I'm not ashamed.
No, absolutely not. Own it. Own that shit. And if truly, if anybody deserves a cat, it's clearly you.
Thank you. Thank you. So the women decide that Ashley has indeed succeeded as a hostess in spite of all her teething problems. I'm happy for her, but also it does seem super tiring to try and win these girls' approval.
I know, it seems like a really like a full-time job. I mean, I love the little flashback they did where it was like, oh, so what were your doubts about the weekend? And there was just a flashback of that chef handing like the check and then the room scenes and all of this, and it was like, yeah. I get it.
We then go to the gay club and we get like a super messy montage of the girls at the gay bar, which I really enjoyed. I like it when they let loose.
I do as well. It was nice to see them just kind of be normal, like not kind of thinking about their image or what they're saying or being really prim and really proper and everything. Like, it was nice just to see them having like completely unabashed fun.
It did, I don't know about you, it did like vaguely make me miss like a proper night out.
Oh, me too. Very, very much so.
Like, the urge only hits me probably once every 2 or 3 months, but yeah. I'm now overdue about 2 sort of proper nights out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, like now I need to be on a dance floor with people looking at me.
Yes, that's literally me as well. Like, I don't like to do it often. I can't do an every weekend kind of a thing. But yeah, maybe once a month or something. I love to just go where it's like a bit of cheesy music and it doesn't matter that you're dancing like an idiot or that you're staggering around. I just love that.
We need a bit of a sesh.
We do, absolutely. Very, very much so. Buying all these clothes, I need someone to wear them.
So I absolutely love as well that there's kind of like a shift in music when Michael appears. So it goes from being very like upbeat and disco-y to this sort of like Jaws soundtrack interspersed with like percussive beats.
Oh my god, I didn't even pick up on that.
Honestly, it made me laugh so much. It was like and then it kind of goes into like this very sort of dark and then like shit, my new ring. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think that he should have come?
See, I'm so conflicted on this because in the one sense, like, I do understand that, you know, he just wanted to surprise her and like it was a nice thing to do considering they're leaving in the morning. But on the other hand, I also feel a bit like I would have been like, well, it was a girls' night. I wanted to kind of see off the night with them and then you could have came tomorrow. But I don't think any of their reaction was correct or appropriate.
No, I know what you mean. I mean, Ashley is right, okay? It is Michael's house.
Yeah.
But it is a bit wild if I think about it that he was like, I know what I want to do.
Yes.
Girls' weekend with a load of middle-aged women.
I'm living.
That when I actually think about the thought process, I'm like, okay, that's slightly strange.
Yeah, and like, I guess on like a surface level, it's like, you know, it's nice that he wanted to see her and that he wanted to surprise her. But I feel like most people would have had a better judgment thing of being like, I'll turn up tomorrow once they've left.
Yeah. It was a little odd.
Yeah.
Charisse and Katie are both pretty on side. They don't seem particularly fussed that Michael's there.
No.
And anyway, the women go back and Ashley and Michael actually end up getting back relatively soon after the ladies have legged it to sort of show willing that they're still hosting.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I didn't agree with like Ashley saying like, well, you guys can just leave and I'm going to stay here with Michael. Like, I wouldn't have done that because that just immediately sort of puts that divide into the group.
Yeah, so you would have said, oh, let's all just go back to the house. And
yeah, exactly. And I would have tried to make it like, yeah, he's here, but like, it doesn't mean that the night has to end. Let's, you know, have some drinks. We'll do this, that, and the other. I might have even sort of quietly said to Michael, like, look, would you mind just taking a couple of beers and going and watching TV upstairs while we have a girls' night? Because then at least that way, like, when she gets into bed, like, he's there, but it's not infringing upon the women as much as they're convinced that it will be.
Yeah, I mean, he tries to kind of make a joke about it.
Oh, yeah.
Which, yeah, there is just something about him. He is a bit odd, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why Karen was like, oh, Ray won't be comfortable with another man in the house. And it's like, it's not like he's a random stranger that somebody just picked up and brought back. Like, he's literally somebody's husband.
Yeah, that was a bit of a stretch. And I mean, also in the preview, you can kind of see like Michael kind of having to stop himself from making a snide comment when yeah. Ray's like, I don't want you to see my wife in skimpy lingerie.
What do these men think happens at girls' weekends?
just like rampant, rampant lingerie clad.
Everyone's just around in like lingerie and like little teddies and things like that. It's like when girls are on girls' weekends, unless they're out there wearing sweatpants and a t-shirt
and diamond encrusted trucker caps.
Yeah, exactly.
Please.
Oh, God.
So we actually learn the next morning that Robin, Katie and Charisse stayed up and played beer pong with Michael and Ashley. So you kind of get the two camps forming.
Yeah, I can start to see that real divide happening. And I mean, I didn't think I would say this at the start again, but really warming to Charisse. It might all tits up, but at the minute, I'm very much on her team.
Yeah, yeah. I think while she's still kind of... I think she obviously was looking for an excuse to get away and she's enjoying the change of scenery. And I think she's just kind of like, oh, come on, guys. Like,
yeah, like
stop being so dramatic for the sake of it.
And I think what the irony is as well is that they were like, oh, well, you know, he's here. It's changed the dynamic. Like, that's it. We can't have fun anymore. But they were the only ones that actually stopped themselves from having fun. Like, they went to bed in the strop and then everybody else who didn't care stayed up and had a great night.
Mm.
Which is just, yeah, so ironic.
So I think we're going to see more of this, by the way, in terms of aftermath in the next episode, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think so as well. And I mean, yeah, we get to see Michael and Ray sort of going at it on the golf course about whether it's appropriate for there to be another man in the house.
Oh, I really wish I could think of that puppet that Michael looks like. It's honestly going to drive me insane until it comes to me in a dream. I might, when I go home, just flick through all the channels at like 10 a.m. just to see if I can catch a glimpse of this effing thing. It probably went off air in the 90s, for all I know, but...
You never know. You might just come across it.
It's going to drive me insane until then. Also, Potomac is going to start airing, I believe, on like the 7th of August or something, the new season. So that's quite exciting. So that's coming up soon.
Oh, yes. I can't wait for that.
So we're definitely not going to catch up to it.
We are not.
I was thinking either we could finish this season and pick up on the next one, or we could like transition into the new season and you catch up where you want to. I don't know.
I mean, that I'm quite happy to do that as well. That could work just as well for me.
We can play it by ear.
Yeah, we'll see where we get up to when we finish this versus when that's starting. And if we've got some time, we can, you know, we can go to maybe the second, or maybe we'll just jump ahead a couple of seasons.
But I mean, I do feel that you need to watch the entirety of it, whatever happens, whether we recap it or not.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine. We'll leave that to Jesus. But you cannot miss out on this, because honestly, so much goes down.
Yeah, I feel like I'm quite happy to do like a full binge. Like, I could get it into like a week and a half if I need to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and trust me, you could, because it's that good.
Okay,
I'm very... actually, when this season first aired, when the first season first came out, it got quite good like critical reviews.
Yeah.
And someone said that Bravo is an equal opportunity offender. They like praised it for its diverse cast, and then they were like, basically, like whoever they put on TV, you know, they're just like monsters. So I kind of like that.
I love that as a theory as well.
Yeah, let's make sure that everyone is represented, but let's also make sure that they're all, you know, snobby and completely disconnected from reality.
Equally awful people.
Love that. You can follow Faith on Instagram at Faith_Elizabeth, 2 H's in Faith, and check out her work on faithrichardson.co.uk. You can follow me on Twitter at Louisa G. Rogers, and you can check out my work on louisarogers.net. You can also follow this podcast on Instagram, and do leave us a 5-star review if you're listening and enjoying. It would be super helpful for us, especially as we're... how long can we refer to ourselves as new for, by the way? I don't know. Maybe.
The first year?
It's been like 2-3 months, but you know, we're getting started still. So please do leave a rating and a review if you're enjoying it. And you can follow us on Instagram at Bravo and the Brits.